Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. And this program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto that site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. We invite you to join them and be blessed too. Sometimes people ask the question, if God is truly a loving God, how can He send anyone to hell? First of all, be assured God is a loving God. And because He is a loving God, He has made a way for all human beings to escape eternal punishment. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son," and here's the escape route, "that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When Jesus died on the cross, His death satisfied God's wrath against our sin, your sin and my sin. When you and I, by faith, accept the sacrifice of Jesus as the only sufficient payment for our sin, then Jesus' righteousness is credited to us. As a result, we stand before God in Christ's righteousness. We are holy and without blame. We also immediately gain eternal life and escape the wrath to come. So, God will not send anyone to hell. People will end up in hell because they reject the only way of escape, the sacrifice that Christ has made on their behalf. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that most people will choose the easier way of life that leads to destruction, and comparatively few will enter the narrow way that leads to life with its trials and difficulties. Our study in Luke's Gospel brings us to chapter 13 and verses 22 to 30. Here, Jesus responds to a question from someone in the crowd. The question is, "Lord, are there only a few that will be saved?" Let's read the text, Luke 13, verses 22 to 30, and see Jesus' sobering response to this question. "And Jesus went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he will answer and say, I know not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in your presence, and you have taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." This text reveals several important truths related to entering the kingdom of God. The first truth is, there is the simple command. Strive to enter in at the narrow door. This is Jesus' response to the question, are there only a few that will be saved? This question connects our text with Jesus' previous teaching on the kingdom being like leaven. Its influence is much greater than its size. But before we look at the simple command Jesus gave, let's learn what he meant by the narrow door. This narrow door is different than the straight gate or narrow gate in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, although the idea of only a few entering is shared by both. In Matthew, the reference is to a gate that opens onto a way or path. That gate is narrow in the sense that it restricts access, and the path that leads away from the gate is one that is filled with difficulty. Here in our text, Luke speaks of the door to a house that, according to the next verse, is controlled by the master of the house. What does a door do? A door on a house restricts access. It controls who enters and who does not. But in contrast to Matthew's narrow gate, the door to a house suggests intimate fellowship. If someone is known to the occupants of the house, he or she will most likely be welcomed in. We'll see this idea of intimate fellowship develop as we continue in the text. What did Jesus mean when he said we should strive to enter in at the narrow door? The Greek word that's translated into the English word strive is also used in Luke chapter 22 and verse 44. There it is translated agony, as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane just prior to his crucifixion. So it's a strong word, a word of intense feeling and action. It originally was used of one who was competing in the Olympic Games. If you know anything about those games, the competitors spared no effort to be victorious. Jesus immediately goes on to say that many will wish to enter the door but will not be able. They are not willing to engage in the life and death struggle that entrance involves. Jesus seems to imply that the crucial matter is entering the kingdom while there is time or opportunity. Notice how our text pictures Jesus as being seated, observing those who are striving to enter, as compared with those who are only milling around the door and thinking about entering. Then he, Jesus, rises up and shuts the door. The text is he literally slams it. From that point on, no one on the outside gets in. You know, there are many people today who understand the need for salvation. But in their words, "I'm just not ready yet." They have a careless attitude about the future. They don't realize how uncertain life is. They're like those in our text who are on the porch or on the doorstep of the house, but they continually delay the decision to enter. Some more convenient time I'll get right with God. You see, their response is the opposite of striving. What about you, my friend? Have you entered the narrow door that leads to eternal life? Or are you still hesitating? Jesus is that door. He said so plainly in John chapter 10 and verse 9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." I must warn you, once the door is shut, no amount of pleading or effort or striving will reopen it. Your destiny will be sealed. You may think you have plenty of time, but Jesus' simple command is just as valid for you as it was for the crowd that day. Strive to enter the narrow door. The second truth is, there is the sobering contraction. What do I mean by contraction? Well, look at verses 24 to 27. Jesus said, "Many in that day," that is, after the door is shut, "will gather around the door and ask to be admitted." Notice their zeal and earnestness in their words, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But Jesus says to them, "I do not know where you come from." In other words, you do not belong to this household, this family. You are a stranger. You did not take the opportunity to join us while the door was open. Now it's closed. But the people outside the door will protest by saying, But we know you. We know your family. We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in the streets of our towns. Surely you know who we are. We're your neighbors and your friends." What are these people really saying? They were stressing their acquaintance with Jesus. You see, they knew about him, but they did not know him because they had refused his invitation to believe. No nearness of external communion with Christ will avail at that great day. So he said to them again, "I do not know where you come from." Now I want you to remember something. Jesus does not stutter, nor does he absent-mindedly repeat himself. He says what he means, and he means what he says. And so this repetition is awful because it is so final. And then he adds, "Go away from me, all you workers of iniquity." The word iniquity expresses the wickedness of the human heart, the motivations for our actions. Even though Jesus had eaten with these people and taught in their villages, they refused to accept the fact that he was the only way to enter the kingdom. They reserved the right to decide who he really was and how and when they should respond to his invitation. But now it was too late. Jesus' teaching clearly indicates there were many who thought they were a part of his kingdom, his family, but they really weren't. And you know, there are many people just like them today. They equate appearance with substance. They think because they know about God or know about Jesus that he will accept them. They think because they attend church or maybe even read the Bible and pray that they belong to the family of God. But they're sadly mistaken. They have never surrendered their will to Christ and allowed him to become the master. Like those in our text, they will end up outside the door, locked out. And if all this is not enough, Jesus presents the final truth about entering the kingdom. And that final truth is the shocking conclusion.
But that will need to wait until our next visit because we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Now, Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Entering the Kingdom of God. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Entering the Kingdom of God. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is via email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Don't forget, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Entering the Kingdom of God. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And I remind you, too, that our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Entering the Kingdom of God. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.